I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning to you. Happy Tuesday if you're just waking up. I don't know how you do it. I have great admiration for you morning people because I couldn't do it. And I don't know how much this is going to appeal to you, though there have been select occasions in my life where I have eaten ice cream for breakfast. It has happened. There is at least one time in my life when I've had pizza for breakfast. But I can remember at least twice in which I've had ice cream for breakfast. The first time it ever happened was in Oklahoma. It was pretty early in my career, and there wasn't anything else to eat. And it was super hot and humid. It was the middle of the summer. Actually, it wasn't humid. It was super hot, probably dusty, if I remember correctly. And I just decided I came in from working, or maybe I got up to go to work. I guess I was doing mornings at the time, and ice cream just seemed like it was the perfect thing. That was a rough stretch in my career because I did morning radio, but then I also had to work in the afternoon. So it was a split shift. Oh, brutal. I never slept. It was just, ugh. So I'm glad I'm not doing that anymore. I'd rather just stay up all night. What are your big three when it comes to ice cream toppings? So you always want me to rank everything. That's what sports fans do. We rank things. And so I just need to know your big three ice cream toppings this time. So last week we did craziest burger toppings ever. This week it's ice cream toppings because we're getting closer and closer to summertime officially, warmer weather, and ice cream goes perfectly with the summertime. I'll have to think of a good one for the next Twizzler Tuesday show. So I'm on vacation next week. My family is going to be in town. I'm really excited about that. I haven't seen them. Well, I last saw my mom on March 3rd. It's my last plane flight. I flew back from Houston after taking a few days to hang out with mom in Houston. And I remember flying back on the plane and there were a few people in masks, but it was, believe it or not, pre-pandemic craziness. And what, a week later, just over a week later, the NBA suspended its season. And man, everything in succession, rapid succession after that in the world of sports. That was the last time I saw any family. I have not seen my brother and my sister-in-law and my nieces. Well, I saw my brother and my younger niece at New Year's. So that was the last time I saw them. I haven't seen the other niece and my sister-in-law since Thanksgiving. And so I'm really looking forward to it. It's kind of a surprise. It's a good thing they told me because I would not have been ready, or I would have been less ready than I will be when they arrive on Friday. But my sister-in-law, my two nieces just up and decided they would take a vacation day on Monday. So they're coming up on Friday and they're staying till Monday. And I know the house is not ready. I've tried to warn them, but at least the refrigerator is clean and the kitchen will be clean by the time they arrive. My mom said to me, don't freak out. Kitchen and bathrooms. Just make sure the kitchen and the bathrooms are clean and everything else will be fine. Don't worry about anything else. So that's not a terrible tall task. The bathrooms aren't awful. I mean, nothing could ever be as disastrous or disgusting as the refrigerator, but at least that's clean now. The next big job in the kitchen, because I also scoured the sink, and I mean scrubbed it first with Comet and then with Lysol disinfectant. I had to use an ice scraper to get some of the stuff that was stuck onto the sink off. Oh, so gross. Anyway,
you stay classy.
This makes me never want to ever buy a house ever again. I want my money back. Anyway, the next big job is the cupboards, because many of them have crumbs and other debris left in the cupboards. They're really nice cupboards. They were custom made just 5 years ago in Amish country, Pennsylvania. They're beautiful. And then you open them up and there's crap in them. And so, yeah, the next big job is the wiping out of the cupboard so I can empty a few boxes, and it's a never ending cycle. So I'm looking forward to vacation, looking forward to the family visit, though it's definitely stressing me out because there's so much to do. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I've never received so many tweets and Facebook posts about refrigerators in my life. And so, yeah, that's been fun. And right now it's all about the ice cream. So we're way off the beaten path. But I feel like I need that. And it sounds like many of you do as well. So on Twitter, on Facebook, top three, rank your ice cream toppings. And then our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Mary is yelling at me on Facebook. This is her post. You said you were going to do peanut hamburger this weekend. I never said that, Mary. I'm sorry if you misunderstood, but I was moving this past weekend, so I didn't actually cook a darn thing. I did takeout. I didn't cook at all. I had peanut butter and jelly. So no, I wasn't planning on doing the peanut butter burgers this past weekend. It was my moving weekend. It was crazy as all get out without mixing in something on my hamburgers. Coming up this weekend, though, my family will arrive and we're going to do a cookout, and I will try the peanut butter on the burgers. I've already got the buns and the burger meat. So I apologize for that misunderstanding. I don't want to be misleading anyone, but I had no time for anything except for moving and cleaning over the weekend. So there was no cooking there. I promise that I will follow through on that, though. The peanut butter burger challenge. We've got six people so far on board with the challenge. And if you want to join us, you definitely can do that on our social media as well. Some of you may have watched the special featuring the five commissioners of baseball, basketball, hockey, football, NFL, and soccer, the other football. That was on ESPN on Monday evening, and not everybody was live. So a couple of the commissioners had pre-taped their conversations. But I would say interesting information. It's always newsworthy and noteworthy when you can get the commissioners together in any forum. It's rare because of their schedules. Although right now, I mean, what else is there on the schedule except for talking about where we are and how we're going to get back, if we get back. Rob Manfred was up first, and earlier, not that much earlier, but before the special aired, there were leaks out there that he was going to backtrack and indicate that he was no longer 100% certain that there will be baseball in 2020. So Chris, if you wouldn't mind, just play that cut from last week, late last week. This was with Tom Verducci of Sports Illustrated, in which Tom asked him how confident he was there would be baseball this year.
We're going to play baseball in 2020, 100%, if it has to be under the March 26th agreement, if we get to that point in the calendar, so be it. But one way or the other, we're playing Major League Baseball.
That was just last week. It was in advance of the Major League Baseball amateur draft. But that was then, and this is now.
So if you were 100% last week and you feel less certain, what percentage do we feel now?
You know, Mike, I do learn as I go along. Given how long my 100% prediction lasted, I'm not going to handicap it again, but it's something less than 100, that's for sure.
I got to hand it to him. At least he maintains some semblance of a sense of humor through all of this. You hear the voice of Mike Greenberg on ESPN asking him, well, now what? That 100% prediction seems like you're not there anymore. You're moving off of that. Now, the players and the union had an instant reaction. I mean, it was scathing on social media, as always, because these days that's how we fight our battles, is social media, you know. And right away, it was instantaneous with the players. And it was in the moment, even. As this is happening, players are responding with how disingenuous, how disgusting, how, you know, just throw in a bunch of adjectives there, how insincere, how false, how much this whole narrative is being spun in a way that the commissioner is trying to save face. And also, it's a delay tactic, according to the players and the union. What they're saying is that we've told the owners, we'll play. We're done with the negotiating. Thank goodness. We're done with the negotiating. Just tell us when and where, and we're ready to play. Okay, so they said that going back to last weekend. This is actually after Manfred said he was 100% certain. A player said, yo, we're ready to go. This is clearly not going to, it's not going to work the way we want it to. So just, if you're only going to give us 50 games, let's go. Let's get this show on the road. And so now they're saying that because the owners realize two things. A, that if they would try to set a 50-game season right now, the baseball players will file a grievance, okay? Because there's plenty of time, according to the players, for them to get in more than 50 games. And let's just say, for the sake of argument, they start a month from now or third week in July. If they were to set the season today, that's right after baseball comes out of the All-Star break in a standard season. So yeah, they have more than enough time to play even 70 games. Although that might be a little, that would be ambitious. 65 games, maybe something like that. I mean, they remember the time when they were talking about how they would cram in double headers and they were willing to play, you know, double headers on back-to-back days even. That's a thing of the past. And so the players are saying that this is another stall tactic by the owners because they want to get to the point where when the commissioner finally sets the number of games, it looks as though they have no other option but the 50. That's it. That's all they have time for. When all along, the owners have said, if we're going to pay you full prorated salaries, well, then 50 games equals out to how much money we want to pay you. So remember, I've told you this before. The number of games times the amount of money they wanted to pay out. I mean, they have come up with the same final salary number, regardless of the games and the prorated and the salary cut structure and all that jazz. They continue to come up with the same final number, which is a third of what they would normally be paying out in a typical season. They're set. They're set on only paying a third of what the players would have made in a typical season. And however they come up with that math, it's always that same number. And so the players are saying, I mean, these proposals are all the same. This is bad faith negotiating anyway, and we're done with it. We're not taking less than what we've already agreed to. So fine, just give us a number of games. Well, all of this is playing out publicly, of course. And so it's bad look. It's a bad taste. And we all know it. So does Rob Manfred.
It's just a disaster for our game. Absolutely no question about it. It shouldn't be happening. And it's important that we find a way to get past it and get the game back on the field for the benefit of our fans.
Just to make sure we're clear, the question that Greenberg asked him wasn't about the situation generally in baseball. It was about how this entire fight has played out publicly. So that cut is going to be replayed over and over and over and over again. You're going to see the quote over and over and over and over again on Tuesday. But he was specifically asked about the public nature of this fight when he said what you just heard him say. And it was the quote that I tweeted as I was watching this play out on ESPN on Monday evening. It's just a disaster for our game. Absolutely no question about it. And it was about the public nature and the pot shots that are taking place for all the world to see by both sides. And so that's what Rob Manfred called a disaster. Ultimately, though, are we any closer to a deal? Nope. Are we any closer to the start of play? Doesn't sound like it if the commissioner is backtracking and saying he's not sure. Now, there was a lot made about the safety, the health and safety. Please don't insult my intelligence. Don't even bother. It's painfully obvious that this is about money. So please don't try to backtrack now and tell me that this is about health and safety. It's not. They haven't even got to the point where they're talking about health and safety, really. It's been all about the money. And who cares about the health and safety if they can't agree on the money? I mean, that's the message they're sending, is that nothing else is as important as the salaries and the revenue. And so to try to act like now it's about health and safety, and that's what's delaying this, is, you want to talk about disingenuous. Please, we're not that dumb. We weren't born yesterday. So anyway, that's why we're talking about ice cream. Adam Silver, Damian Lillard, they were part of the conversation as well. Roger Goodell, though, not much about football, really more about the social conversation and the pledge by the NFL to be part of the solution as opposed to part of the problem. He also talked about Colin Kaepernick. And so I'll share one of those sound bites. And you remember last week it was Malcolm Jenkins and it was other players who were pushing him to apologize and to make a public statement about Kaepernick. Well, this may be as good as it gets. I'm not sure if it appeases those players, but he did speak about Colin Kaepernick and about his potential future working with the NFL or in the NFL. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. Good morning to you on this Tuesday. It's a Twizzler Tuesday. Rank your ice cream toppings. We love to rank things in sports, so rank them and rack them on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, and we'll get to some of those before the top of the hour. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
We're going to play baseball in 2020, 100%, if it has to be under the March 26th agreement, if we get to that point in the calendar, so be it. But one way or the other, we're playing Major League Baseball.
Given how long my 100% prediction lasted, I'm not going to handicap it again, but it's something less than 100, that's for sure.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That's the state of Major League Baseball as we know it. Whew, daily updates, scintillating, right? Rob Manfred on ESPN last night as part of a special that featured all of the commissioners. Adam Silver there along with Damian Lillard. And they say that they're addressing the concerns of players, and they recognize that the return to this Orlando bubble to finish out the season isn't for everyone. But always very political and diplomatic is Adam Silver. That's not the case inside the NBA player circles. Kyrie Irving and several others who are vocal leading this charge to potentially boycott Orlando because they believe it will make a louder statement to not go back and play when it comes to social unrest. And they're also concerned that by playing basketball, it will move the social issues to the back burner. I think for some people it will, but it's impossible to not recognize it, to not know what's happening right now, unless you're completely ignoring all sports and blocking out all news. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Kendrick Perkins was a guest on the DA show on CBS Sports Radio, which is the show that follows ours here in the mornings. And he wanted you to know that there's a difference between, let's say, a superstar caliber player like a LeBron James or a Steph Curry, and then a Kyrie Irving who's leading this other faction.
First of all, he's not a powerful voice. He's a popular voice. It's the difference between being powerful and popular. You know, powerful, you're actually moving the needle. No one's listening to Kyrie. The NBA is going to continue. All he's doing is causing unnecessary drama right now between the NBA brothers that we don't need right now. You know, him lashing out is just making news and making a whole bunch of noise for nothing, because the NBA season is going to happen.
So Kendrick Perkins with some strong words for Kyrie Irving. I do think it's somewhat ironic that Kyrie isn't planning to play the rest of the way anyway. So it's a little easier for him to say if he's not planning to return from injury. Perkins, of course, part of the Celtics teams and then part of the Thunder teams for a while before he retired in after the 17-18 season. So again, on the DA show on CBS Sports Radio, he's essentially telling us to ignore what Kyrie is doing and saying.
He's just known for bringing up drama all the time for no reason. Why are you stirring the pot? We don't need that right now. So a lot of the times we don't need to hear his voice anyway.
So I don't know if everyone feels the same way that Kendrick Perkins does, but let's give him credit for at least this point. I mean, he obviously knows the NBA community better than most from being on the inside for so long. But Kyrie definitely likes to stir the pot. He enjoys that role. Whether he's doing it just to get under people's skin, whether he actually believes what he's saying about how the earth is flat. I mean, whatever it is, he does enjoy being that guy who initially gets you to raise your eyebrows and then do a double take. Wait, what? What did he say? Now, if he's doing that inside his own NBA community just to stir up trouble, that's a little different than using social media to get people to talk about, you know, whatever latest, greatest idea he has come up with. It sounds, though, according to Perkins and according to others, that regardless of these loud voices and regardless of some of the opposition, most of these players want to go back and finish the season. And I think, you know, consistently we've heard that from a lot of different parts of the NBA. And that includes Damian Lillard, who says he understands the concerns, but that he also believes that the majority of players want to get back out there and they want to, despite the risk. He said it's worth the risk to him. And despite the risk, he believes that most players are going to go ahead and take this leap to Orlando. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Let's see, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, we're asking you to rank your big three ice cream toppings. Tony is listening in Queens. Welcome to the show, Tony.
Good morning, Amy. How's everything going? Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. Thank you. I'm good.
I'm a big fan of you. Yeah, so let's talk about ice cream and NBA. all right, so ice cream. Have you ever had, let me build a quick sundae for you. Have you ever had cannoli cream flavored ice cream with topped with whipped cream, chocolate sprinkles, pecans, and peanut butter sauce? Have you ever heard of that or tried it?
That is very unique. I feel like I could answer the question about each of those ingredients individually. I love cannoli cream because I'm half Italian, yeah. But I've never had cannoli cream ice cream. I've had all the other toppings, just not all together.
Great. Well, one day you will like it and you will try it. I know you will. Yeah, if you allow me, I actually wanted to I have some NBA trivia for you. There are multiple choice questions. They're not that hard.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, one or two maybe, but I stink at trivia.
All right, let's just do one. I'll do the easier one. All right, who is the – and it's multiple choice. Who is the oldest player in NBA history – to win a season's MVP award? I'm going to give you four choices, okay? Michael Jordan, Vince Carter, Karl Malone, or John Stockton? MVP, oldest player to win it.
Karl Malone.
Yes, you got it. Good job, Amy.
Boom!
Hope you have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Tony. Wow, I feel better about myself. I always warn people, though. People always want to fire questions at me, and I warn them. I stink at trivia. I don't know what it is. You put me on the spot, and I generally can't remember what I'm supposed to remember. So I come by it honestly because my mom can't remember a darn thing, and we'll be in the middle of a conversation, and she'll just interrupt me. Wait. If I don't say this to you right now, I'll never remember. So I don't know what that says about me, but I stink at remembering history. All my dates get blended together, and then I mix up details. Very often it makes for awkward moments on the radio, so I try not to pull random historical facts out of my brain, but even a blind squirrel finds a nut, so yay for that. Andrew Bogish, is he with us yet, Chris? Are we still awaiting AB? I'm sorry, say it again. All right, Andrew is with us from his super secret home location. And this time last week, Andrew, we were talking about burgers and crazy toppings, and peanut butter was the most popular answer across the board. So outside of like ketchup, which isn't so crazy. And now we're doing ice cream because nothing says some summertime like ice cream. And as I've mentioned on the show a couple of times, sports fans are maniacal when it comes to ranking things. So we're asking people to rank their ice cream toppings, top three in order. Go.
Ice cream toppings. I don't like whipped cream. Whipped cream is off the board, so we'll go chocolate syrup number one.
I love how you say it. Like syrup.
Crumbled Oreos would be number two, and A Place by Me has crumbled graham cracker, which is also delicious on top of ice cream.
So you go chocolate syrup and crumbled Oreos?
Yes. Yeah, that usually is that's the consistent choice if I have it, yes.
I remember chocolate syrup used to be the thing when I was a kid growing up. My mom always had it. We would put it in milk. We would put it on ice cream. Every now and then my brother would get crazy and he put it on cereal.
Cereal.
I know. My brother was crazy. He is crazy. We just love chocolate syrup. It was a cheap treat, you know.
Yeah, there's nothing not to like about it.
Yeah, that's true. So, all right, cool. Have you tried the peanut butter burger yet?
I have not. I haven't had a burger to put peanut butter on since we talked last week, so.
Yeah, me neither. Me neither, because I was moving, and I someone yelled at me because I didn't follow through, but I explained I didn't cook a darn thing over the moving weekend. However, yesterday I was at the grocery store, since my family is coming up this weekend. I went and I bought all the stuff for a cookout, and I did, in fact, buy the burgers and the buns, and I thought to myself, my family is going to think I'm nuts when I ruined one of these buns by putting peanut butter on it and then slap it on the burger. But I'm going to see if I can get them to try it with me. We may just pass around the same burger, like one burger, just pass it around with the peanut butter and see if anybody likes it.
I think that's smart. One burger, cut it into pieces, you know, cut it into fours if you can, pass it around. And maybe you'll be a genius here. Maybe they'll go, oh my God. Amy, when did you become a culinary genius putting peanut butter on a burger? Who knew?
And I will take all of the credit. All right.
Why wouldn't you?
I know. They'll never know because they have no idea what I do for a living. They couldn't. They had no idea. So they would have no way of knowing where I came from. All right. Good to talk to you this morning. Coming up next, a portion of my conversation with College Football Hall of Famer and Niners Super Bowl champ Randy Cross.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
The 49ers just 1-7 on third down. They need this one now. Sanders and Debo are right. Bourne left. Garoppolo back. He's chased out. He's going to roll to his right and look to throw. He throws to the end zone. Caught by George Kittle. Right on the goal line. Touchdown! San Francisco!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's a normal feeling this time of the year for me. I hope it does not continue, but I do always go through a stretch where I really miss football and I'm jonesing for it. And we're inside of 100 days from when the regular season would start. Who knows what the next few months hold? I have no idea. I feel like guessing is a really bad idea, though. But that's the Niners radio network. Gave me chills just listening to it. A 13-3 season, the top seed in the NFC, of course, and Kyle Shanahan getting rewarded with a new 6-year contract, reportedly 3 years, still on his deal, but this contract would replace it, would make him among the NFL's 5 highest paid head coaches for the way he's turned the Niners around and made them a contender again. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find us on Twitter or Facebook. We're asking you to rank your top 3 ice cream toppings, of course, because we're nearing the official start to summer. Earlier, I had the chance to catch up with College Football Hall of Famer and Niners Super Bowl champion Randy Cross. He's now on the dark side in the world of football media, but it was really fun to talk to him. And I wanted to know from his perspective, which sport would be stranger without full stadiums, either college football or the pros?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. It'll be college football because, you know, so much, wherever you want to think about it, whether it's at Clemson or Alabama or SC and UCLA or Washington or, you know, make your pick, the 12th man at A&M, you just associate the game and you associate the teams with their fans and with their crowds. And I think, you know, until further notice, until we get back to full stadiums and full crowds, you can almost, you know, do away with the whole idea of home field advantage. Because without those crowds, that home field advantage, I think, is, it's not negated, but you can definitely see it from there.
So you've got guys who are talking about how they're willing to be mic'd up. They think it'll be entertaining. But others I've heard think that actually will give way too much of an advantage to coaches who, say, are watching the tape. What do you think about having players being able to be heard, not just across the line of scrimmage, but then when coaches are going back to scout?
I think, Amy, it'd be fantastic. It's much more likely to happen in the college game, given the paranoia in coaching in general, but especially in the NFL. I'm really curious to see what happens. Though I do think the whole idea of being able to hear more than just the quarterback is something that is going to be really cool to watch and to see and to listen to, because you know, you're just not going to be able to face shield. You know, I've seen some of these designs on the helmets. it would sound like you got somebody mic'd up in a phone booth if the guy's got a shield on his across his entire face. That and he'll have a hard time breathing with the humidity and the heat in the summertime.
Right.
But it'll be an interesting sound, but it'd be fun to see.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think it's the one area where players remain a mystery to a lot of fans, right? I mean, I really enjoy hearing, you know, what they have to say if you're sitting courtside at a basketball game, but you don't often get that close on a football field. And so to have that kind of access, I mean, it's almost unprecedented.
Yeah, it is, as long as you have the disclaimer up front that, you know, this is not PG language. I know the networks will be playing kind of a dangerous game. Running all the audio, I would sure imagine, but it'll be interesting for the fans. I mean, that was the whole idea. I mean, Amy, remember back, what was it, about 10 years ago, 12 years ago, they were talking and actually some preseason and, they used it very judiciously, but umpires and people like that being mic'd.
Right.
And they were going to capture the essence of the game. Well, the essence of the game tends to get a little frisky at times. There are a lot of action verbs involved in the process. So, we'll see how successful that is.
Randy, I don't know if you've been watching the live golf, but there was an F-bomb dropped within minutes of when CBS, or the Golf Channel, excuse me, first went on the air with the Charles Schwab Challenge. So I think even in golf, a sport that seems relatively tame, you're going to have that problem.
Oh yeah, I know. I know. Every Saturday morning when I'm playing with the boys, that's about right. It does not take a hole for that word to be played. So yeah, it's going to happen. It's a natural reaction, and especially with golf, with something you really can't control.
That's true, with mics everywhere. Randy Cross is a former Super Bowl champ with the 49ers, part of the football media now, is a football analyst for both college and pro. That's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Randy, when you think about the challenges for college football, because of the fact that it's a sport that's primarily played on campuses, what are the major hurdles to try to get the entire season in?
Well, I think it's got a lot to do, you know, because it's not only the states, it's school systems. There's so many different people to appease. Can you play a college football season if the school isn't 100% back in attendance? And to me, it's, you know, can you do it a virtual classroom kind of a thing and then still play? I'm not sure. It's going to be a matter of the decisions, being made by the people in charge, of how flexible they want to be in order to get the game in or the games in. Because, you know, honestly, from a safety standpoint, there are some areas and some people would tell you that, you know, it's going to be late into the fall before you get a campus full of kids like you're used to. So I think there's going to have to be some negotiation and a little bit of give and take when it comes to that.
Interestingly, my younger niece is a student at Virginia Tech, and the school has told them that they will return to campus for classes in August. However, because they're already planning for a second wave, if that comes along, that she should expect to be online doing classes between Thanksgiving and the start of the spring semester. So according to VaTech, they're not bringing kids back after Thanksgiving for that three-week period before they take the break at the end of winter semester. And me, in my cynicism, thought, oh, that's so they can get the college football season in because of how much money it generates.
That's not cynicism. I think that's being a little bit on the realistic side, to be honest with you. You know, that's the one thing that, you know, didn't you notice when everybody started discussing when students would come back, when players would come back, when crowds would come back, when, you know, when the games would resume, the one thing that wasn't talked about much was the one thing that pretty much decides how things happen in this world, and that's the money. Because the money, especially for college football, is, you know, that which drives this entire bus. I mean, it's a lot of money that these schools need from the television networks to put their product on the air and to fuel their athletic departments. And I think that's something that, you know, that's the part that tends to get a little bit more negotiable when it comes down to that time.
Randy Cross with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio with the college football and the fact that they've got so many different conferences and entities and leadership voices involved. Who should make the final call when it comes to the right way to do this or the safe way to do this?
I don't think there's any other way but to do it by conference. You know, you'd like to be able to say each, because every conference contains teams that are going to get guidance from their states. And there are some states that are being a little bit more aggressive, but I think it's got to be done by conference. And, you know, the logical side of your brain tells you just by the way this pandemic has happened and the way things have been laid out and the pace at which some areas are and are not coming back, there'll be some unique challenges. I mean, for instance, the state of California, in the Pac-12, if the state of California decides that, you know, they're not going to wait for a second wave, they're just going to slowly but surely open, and it's going to get into Christmas time or so before things get into quote-unquote normal, you know, that's going to be challenging for the four California schools in the Pac-12. So I don't think see any other way that you're going to have to do this by conference. And they've done nothing the last few months but check with each other and work with each other and get all the little things planned out. That's the one thing about what you're going to eventually see on TV. It's just the tip of the iceberg, because there's a gigantic Titanic underneath that iceberg that has already been planned, and the different ways that they want to, you know, the different ways that they want to be able to allow for it.
What happens when you've got one conference who's doing one thing and another conference who's doing something different, and those two conferences have, I don't know, non-conference game, some type of place where they're supposed to meet in the middle?
Yeah, I think that's stuff that has to be negotiated now with the contingencies allowed for. You know, what happens, you know, if the opening game for Navy and Notre Dame that was supposed to be in Dublin, for instance, that is now going to be in Annapolis. So, you know, what are you going to do with that? How are you going to, you know, what happens if there's an issue with the University at Notre Dame? What happens if there's an issue at the Academy? What happens if there's an issue in the city? I don't know. I'm glad there's people in a pay grade above me that will spend a lot of time planning these things, but this is going to put a whole new meaning to the word contingent.
I love talking to Randy Cross. He's got a great sense of humor, even as we're chewing over some heavier topics. And there are a lot of questions that still don't have answers. And so he's kind of fun, his expertise. And really to hear him talk about the Niners and their consistency too, I believe that you would enjoy that. So you can check out that full interview on our podcast, After Hours, amylawrence.com. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. As the usual, we have a lot of, like athletes that this time of the year would be capturing our attention and entertaining us. It's the time of the year we just would have crowned the Stanley Cup champion as well as the NBA Finals. But this is a year unlike any other, as you know. So instead, we do throwbacks when it comes to our Player of the Week. It's time for our Player of the Week brought to you by Grainger. So we are going back. And this week, all the way to 1980. I don't remember this moment, but maybe some of you do. U.S. Open men's golf at Baltusrol. Jack Nicklaus sets the new tournament scoring record with a 272 minus 8. So 8 under par to win his fourth Open title, 2 strokes ahead of his nearest competitor. That was back in 1980. My introduction to golf was my maternal grandmother. Arnold Palmer was her favorite golfer, and she would talk to me a lot about the rivalry. But not just the rivalry, the relationship and the friendship and the star power of both Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer. But Arnie was her favorite. She was part of Arnie's army. Jack Nicklaus, of course, was considered the greatest and maybe still is, though Tiger Woods has encroached on that territory, to be sure. So again, we do throwbacks now for our Player of the Week. They're always sponsored by Grainger. For all the ones who get it done, there's Grainger, offering supplies and solutions for every industry, plus over 24/7 customer support and product specialists always ready to answer any question. Call or visit Grainger.com. Thank you so much for all your responses to the ice cream toppings of choice, your top three. Steve says hot chocolate. I don't know if he means like a chocolate fudge sauce that's warmed up, but hot chocolate, caramel, whipped cream. He says if you're not counting whipped cream, then crushed walnuts. Ooh, that sounds delicious as well. Alan on Twitter, my favorite three toppings, strawberry, chocolate, and caramel, but never at the same time. I would never mix them together. Lots of you weighing in on Facebook, so I'd love if you go back and you respond to the others that have posted. It's good to have you on board. I needed to talk about ice cream. I needed to talk about food. I'm done with all the contrived drama in sports. Wake me when there's something good, some good news to talk about. We're back with you for the Hump Show tonight. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.